Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you. If you're a guest or visitor with us today, thanks so much for being here. Would you help me welcome all of our guests and visitors today? And if you're a guest and you're in the middle of making a tough decision in your life, you came at the right time. We're talking about life hacks and getting God's wisdom for our life. Also want to welcome all of those who are joining us online and everyone here who speaks the heavenly language of Spanish, all of our Lavinia family. Would you help me welcome them here today as well? I'm sorry I don't speak Spanish. I will learn it as soon as I get to heaven. I'll learn it. We're talking about life hacks, getting God's wisdom. Life hacks is a phrase now that's popular around little creative things that really don't matter much in your life, but they may help you a little bit. I'll give you some examples. If you have vegetable oil in your house and you're tired of it glugging out, this will change your life. Put a fork in it. I could tell that didn't register. If you eat Tic Tacs, it takes about 30 seconds to eat a full container of Tic Tacs. And if you do, then don't waste that container. Then you can use that for, what are those called?
Bobby pins.
My life does not intersect with bobby pins very often. This one I actually like. If you're painting, get a rubber band, put it around the can, that clear, right? That one always registers with people. Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to find a very large rubber band somewhere in my house. Look, deal with your own problems. I don't know where you're going to find a rubber band, okay? The book of Proverbs is dedicated to God's wisdom. Written by Solomon, the wisest man in the world, because he asked God for wisdom and God made him wise. And there's 31 chapters, one for every day of the month. And we're to read those to receive God's wisdom for every situation. And there's a lot of those Proverbs that talk about making decisions. Proverbs 16:9 says it this way, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And in the chapter 16 and chapter 9, there's a lot that's said about our decisions that we make before the Lord. And it's like the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. It's like, what is that? What does that mean? How do we make great decisions? This is what we want to talk about today. How can we make wise decisions? Because the answer, it's never a question of whether what you're deciding on is right or wrong. It's usually, is it wise? Is it wise? Should you date that person? Hopefully it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of, is it wise? How should you react in your relationship? Is it wise? What should you purchase? Your home? What kind of work should you do? Should you continue in college? Should you pursue the master's degree? Should you buy that home? Should you buy that car? Should you purchase that motorcycle? I just felt the Holy Spirit show up on the scene right now. I feel a confirmation in the Spirit. And if you walk through the Harley-Davidson store, you can feel the Holy Ghost showing you, it's over here, Rob. It's over here. Well, the question isn't it right or wrong? Because it is so right, it can't be wrong. The question is, my wife wants me to make sure and say, is it wise? Fine. Is it wise? Wouldn't it be great to be able to make Spirit-led decisions in your life? And the bigger the decision, the more you want it to be right. There were some people a few weeks ago who made a great decision, and I want to celebrate them as they were baptized. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to show this just a short recap video of what happened. And then what I want us to do as a church, we've been doing this all weekend, is as soon as the video is over, I want you to cheer really loud for all the folks that were baptized, and also just in thanks to the Lord for what he's doing among us. So check this out.
Every day, it's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change.
It really doesn't get any more important than that. It doesn't get any better than that. That's the reason we do everything that we do, is to see that life change. That's a great decision. And as a matter of fact, when you give your life to Jesus, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Jesus was baptized. He asked you to be baptized. You say yes, and you know that you know that you know that it's right. And then while you're doing it, you know that it's right. And as soon as you come up out of the water, there's a confirmation. This is right. When you're walking down the hallway high-fiving people, there's nothing that says, this is a bad call. Oh, we've all made bad decisions. We know what follows that. This is one that's easy, but decisions usually aren't that easy. I mean, big decisions are not that clear-cut. Matter of fact, I was asking the staff members to, would you send me examples of where you've been wise or unwise in your life so I can talk about you in front of people? And they were silly enough to give me stuff. So I got two within just a few minutes this week. It was really interesting, because they sounded similar, but they were completely different. The first one, she said in her email, she said, I have a friend who went through a season of saying yes, felt led by the Lord just to say yes. Every opportunity, every open door, yes, yes. And God used that in his life to grow him in his relationship with God. She said, from that, I took that the Lord wanted me to start saying yes to what his spirit was saying. And so I was saying yes to all these little things. And then she said this, I felt the Holy Spirit ask me to give my kidney to my ex-husband. He needed the kidney, by the way. I just, the Lord told me to bring this to you. I mean, there's a lot of folks in this room right now that would like to give something to your ex-husband, and it ain't your kidney or your ex-wife. The Lord asked her to do this, and she said, yes. I remember 4 years ago her coming into my office and us praying about this together, and I'm thinking, this is a big decision. Don't put this on me, man. The Lord told, you know, we were discerning. We were praying about this. There was a lot of obstacles in the way to make that sort of thing happen. Went through the surgery. 4 years later, the recipient and her, they're doing fantastic. It's a confirmation. It was from the Lord. Yeah. So, I mean, within a minute, I received this other email of this testimony, and it was a testimony from someone on staff who said they went through a season where they were told, you should just say yes to the Lord. They just started saying yes to every opportunity. They started saying yes to PTO. They started saying yes to, and they found themselves exhausted, emotionally a wreck, and crying, just meltdown, total meltdown. They went to talk to a pastor, and the pastor gave them the gift of no. The gift of boundaries was necessary there. In the matter of a minute, I had two testimonies, both people growing in their relationship with the Lord, both of them with the discernment of the Holy Spirit had heard from God, and one was yes and one was no. Are they both right? Yes. Is it always yes? No. Is it always no? No. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Oh, good, because the last service was like, no, and I was like, well, forget you then, and we closed in prayer. I got to give credit where credit's due. Today, I'm going to just, in broad terms, talk about how to make a spirit-led decision. And for those of you who like every message to have a little bow on it, you're going to be so frustrated, because it ain't going to have one, because this is a complicated topic. And it takes a lifetime, and it's a struggle. And so I'm going to just throw some stuff out there and let you deal with it this week, okay, with the Lord and you, just so you know. But I want to give credit where credit's due. I don't always use Catholic saints when I'm talking about a topic, but I'm using St. Ignatius this weekend. So all the Xavier fans will be excited. As a Jesuit school from the Order of Jesus, when I came to Cincinnati, by the way, we talk about the Ohio State University. We talk about Miami, Oxford. Oh, don't look for a chance to cheer. I know. But I haven't really talked about Xavier much, so all the Xavier fans are gonna, because it's a Jesuit school, I don't feel a whole lot of excitement right now. When I came to Cincinnati, I made the mistake of calling it Xavier. Oh, no. Oh, somebody in the lobby. I was like, all right, I'll make you a deal. I'm from Illinois, so Cincinnati, let me help you. It's not Illinois. It's silent. There's no noise in Illinois. So you say Illinois, I'll say Xavier. Deal? Okay, good. We're just working out personal stuff here. The book is, where did this message go? The book is, What's Your Decision? And I wanted to show you this book. For those of you who are in the middle of a big decision, this is a fantastic read. What's Your Decision? How to make choices with confidence and clarity, an Ignatian approach to decision making. And in 1491, Ignatius was born, and he was born in the north of Spain. And the reason I'm talking about him is because he spent a lot of his life trying to understand discernment. That is how our feelings, our mind, our emotions, and the Holy Spirit and our surroundings, all God uses all of that to speak to us. This is pre-Freudian. This is before modern psychology. This is before, as most believers negate the idea of your feelings and your emotions, and we focus so much on the mind. This is a different way of thinking. This is saying that in your gifts, talents, abilities, feelings, emotions, current state of mind, and all of that, God, being an emotional being and creating us as emotional beings, can speak to us through our emotions and through our feelings. Not to say that you should be led every single day by your feelings. Amen? Because some of you wouldn't be here this morning if you went by your feelings, but you're here. It was a great decision. There are people right now in bed. You know, there are people right now watching. No, I'm not going to go online. You can't follow your feelings all the time, but God can use your feelings. And St. Ignatius spent many, many years trying to understand how to discern the will of God. To discern the will of God. To discern, to make a distinction, a choice. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. Paul says, a person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God in us, all of us who believe in Christ. You have the Spirit of God. Imagine that you have the Spirit of God, and now by the Spirit of God, you can discern. You can make a decision with the Spirit. What is discernment? Here's a working definition of discernment. Discernment of God's will is the act of distinguishing between options while consciously calling on God for assistance. So this is making every decision with an awareness that God deeply cares about the decisions that you're making. I mean, aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit? That you're not alone in making decisions, that He cares about it. He can give you discernment so that you can know which way to act, which way to respond, what to do. Should you date that guy? Should you marry that person? Oh, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for how many of you wished for discernment 20 years ago. Here's what discernment is not. I'm moving on quickly after that comment. Here's what discernment is not. Discernment is not a choice between good and evil. It's never a choice between good and evil. We're talking about a choice between two good options. We made our decision about good and evil before. By the way, if you're depressed and you're sad and you don't have a plan and you're lonely and you're smoking lots of weed, I mean, there was a time in my life where that was my life. I didn't need discernment to figure out why my life was a mess. Didn't have to go that far. I just needed to repent. I mean, you've got stuff in your life that you're doing that's making you miserable. You already know it. Discernment is not necessary. Repentance is necessary. What I needed at that time wasn't to know more or understand more. What I needed to do was repent. When I repented and gave my life to Jesus, everything started to change. And you can look at your life right now and say, there's things in my life I just need to repent of. I don't need discernment for the Lord to tell me, hey, you know, you're getting drunk every night. That's not a good thing. I know that. That requires repentance. I'm also referring to myself back when I was in college, not recently, just for clarity's sake, if you're a guest or visitor. It's not a choice between good and evil. It's also not out of left field. There's people who make decisions and call it God. Follow me here. There are people who make decisions and they make it look like this really faith-filled act. Well, I don't know what the future holds or where I'm going or how I'm going to pay the bills. My wife doesn't agree. My kids don't agree. My mentors, my coaches, nobody in my life thinks that this is the right thing to do, but I'm just stepping out by faith. No, you're stepping out being a fool. Because no big decision is made in isolation. I can tell you, in 24 years of marriage, we have never made a decision, my wife and I, a big decision about our life that we weren't in unison on. There was one time in Texas I bought a Maxima without her full participation, but I felt it in the spirit she was with me. But anyway, that was the only one. I guarantee you, when we were deciding to come to Cincinnati, I just came into the house and said, "Thus saith the Lord." That don't happen. We're together on these things. And you won't make big decisions in isolation. There'll be a multitude of counselors around you. That's how wisdom, there's wisdom in that. And God doesn't want you to make those decisions alone. It's not out of left field. Also, it's not decoding secret messages. Some people think Christianity is this way. They get this mystical look on their face, like, "I think the Lord was speaking to me." Let's go back to Harley Davidson. I saw 3 black Harley Davidsons ride by yesterday and 4 red ones today. I think the Lord's speaking to me about the red ones, you know. He's not hiding from us. He doesn't want you to decode his will. The reason we went on a 20-day fast is so that we would become more aware that he already is speaking. He already is moving. He already is working. He's already saying things to you, and he's leading you. He doesn't want you to decode it. But sometimes we are so crowded in our life and mind that we have to declutter so that we can hear what he's already saying. But discernment isn't figuring it all out mystically. God is way more practical than we give him credit for. And being super spiritual or mystical doesn't get you any closer to God. Because he's down to earth and he knows where you live. He knows your address, he knows your name, he knows your middle name, he knows everything about you. He knows what you're like. And he speaks to you, he cares for you. So let me give you just 5 things. And these are sure, again, to frustrate those who want a bow. It's not gonna happen. Let me just give you 5 things to think about, to pray about this week as you work on this. If you're gonna make decisions that have the discernment of God, the Holy Spirit's help, 1, you've gotta believe that God is active in your life and cares about your decisions. This is the premise. The premise is faith. I believe that God cares individually about every single one of us. He proves that by giving us his son, Jesus. And he cares about the smallest to the greatest decisions that you're gonna make in your life. He deeply cares about you. He couldn't prove it any more than to give his only son a ransom for you. This is how he values you and values me. I wanna tell you, you're not alone in that decision you're making. You're not alone. And God cares about the decisions that you're making. 2, you can know God's will for your life. This is something you have to settle on. I can know God's will for my life. And as soon as you say God's will, it becomes too big. In our own mind, in our own heart, I was sitting in Starbucks this week with a gentleman who's worked for P&G for 35 years. And he's worked in the IT department. And I'm sitting there, I'm a pastor and been a pastor for 25 years, and he's been in P&G, and he had to admit to me, sometimes when I think about my relationship with God, I've been tempted to think that maybe he wants me to move to another country or do something great for him. No, you are doing exactly what he wants you to do for him. You're in the right place, the right time, you're loving him, you're loving your family. But sometimes we can think odd about the will of God. We can think of it on this continuum. Some people, when they think about the will of God, they think it's just all me. And if I'm doing what I love and doing what I care about, and I'll just make the decision of where I'm gonna live, and everything's about me, and it just satisfies me, and so, yeah, I'm in the will of God. The other extreme, though, puts it all on God. And usually there's a wrong thinking about God and his will. And people will think, well, if I'm far away from home, if I don't have any friends, if I'm pretty miserable, out of my comfort zone, and I have to marry somebody that's not attractive to me. I didn't say ugly. I said just not attractive to me. I'm probably in the will of God. But if there's a whole lot of satisfaction and joy and fulfillment and contentment, that's probably just selfish, and that's just me. And they have this, it's somewhere in between. I believe that the will of God, the way that God created you and created me, you will do things in this life that, get this, you will actually enjoy. And there'll be peace there and there'll be joy there. You know what his future is for you? The way that he designed you, he has something for you to do. And it may be in marketing and it may be in business and it may be in IT, but it'll be something that you'll enjoy. And when you enjoy it, you're a mom and you're a stay-at-home mom and you find God's pleasure in loving those kids, let me tell you something, you are smack dab in the middle of God's will for your life. Why? Because you're loving him with everything that you've got, and that is his will. The soul finds its rest only in God, and it's restless until it finds that rest. For me, believe it or not, it's talking to you. I had no idea when I was in graduate school running from God, not wanting to serve him at all, that I absolutely was born to talk about Jesus. This would have been the furthest thing from my mind. I even failed an eighth grade class because I would not give an oral presentation. I hated being in front of people. And now, my biggest concern is I've got 6 minutes and 34 seconds and I got way more to say. Oh my gosh, so much to say. Listen, God knows what you love, even when you don't. Those deepest desires that you have in your heart, the deepest desires that you have in your heart, those are there from God. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. And this is what discipleship is. Following Jesus is your desires lining up with his desires, and then those two desires coming into this supernova of his will. And that can be anywhere, any place, doing almost anything that he's created you to do. Every role that you have, you can absolutely feel God's divine purpose in what you're doing, and you're loving him as you do that, but the key is that you're lining up with him. Don't ask for discernment on the will of God if you don't want to do the will of God. So for some, it begins with repentance, just saying, I give you my whole life. And then he starts to tell you, listen, here's who the world said you were. Here's who your uncle said you were, but you never knew this. This is who I actually made you to be. And when you start living how he made you, it fits you, it suits you all the way down to the ground. And there are moments where you're stretched, sure, and you're out of your comfort zone a little bit, but by and large, you're right in line with how he made you. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand his will. And we can, and it's not easy, and it's often very difficult. And even to think about some of the decisions that we have to make. Adulting is tough, y'all. So I would encourage you this. Number three, embrace the struggle of difficult decisions. Should you date him? Whew, that's one. Should you marry him? Oh, I got daughters. That's a big decision. Should you go to school? Should you get a degree? What degree should it be? Where do you want to live? Embrace the struggle of difficult decisions. And here's why. When you're making difficult decisions, you know what's happening? God's using that to teach you more about who he is. And you know why it's a struggle? It's a struggle because he's also teaching us about who we are. Have you ever made a decision where right after the decision, you forced the decision, you knew it was the right decision, and as soon as you make the decision, you realize that was the wrong decision? Amen. Amen. Thank you, one honest man, after his wife nudged him vigorously. Because you realize after you make the wrong decision, who made the decision? Not the Lord, not anybody else, you did. Who's to blame for the decision? You are, and why? Because you have desires that are hidden deep. Superficially, you thought you desired what God wanted, but deep down, you said Harley at any cost, or whatever it is. And then you gotta, and they say in Texas, you gotta try to crawfish your way out of something. You gotta repent, you gotta turn around. See, this is why making decisions, it's a struggle. Because it reveals your true desires. The decisions we make, the things that we purchase, the places we go, the people. I mean, it all reveals. See, it's a struggle making decisions because you feel that tension of who you really are and what you really desire. And sometimes those things aren't great. Some of you in going through a divorce, the decisions that you made, you can look back very easily with regret. You've been through a divorce, or maybe you're heading into one, or maybe you've just come out of one and you're wondering, how am I gonna get rid of the bitterness? Even when I mentioned that somebody gave a kidney to their ex, it ticked you off, you know? I mean, that's real, it's real stuff. And I know you have great questions for me every weekend. You're asking right now, Pastor Rob, do we have a ministry that can help me in this situation? Heading into, coming out, just getting over, going through a divorce? Yes, we do. It's called Divorce and Beyond. Happens Monday nights at 7:00 here at the church. There's also a big seminar coming up at the end of the month. I want to take a minute. If you've gone through a divorce and you just know you're not healed, if you're going through one, if you're headed into one, listen, there's help, there's hope, there's relationship, there's brighter days in your future. There's a God who loves you and cares for you. There's grace and mercy for every regret that you have. And there's a new day for you. Would you get involved in Divorce and Beyond? And thank you for asking that great question as I was speaking. I really appreciate that. Number four, this is where we'll have to close. Your perception of God influences your difficult decisions. I don't know if there's anything more in life that really influences your life more than your perception of God. Who you think God actually is. There are people in the room right now who, as soon as you don't even know this, subconsciously, when you talk to God, he has a flavor of your earthly father. If your earthly father was aloof, you see God as distant and uncaring. If your earthly father was abusive, you see a God in heaven who has a baseball bat ready to strike you whenever you do something wrong. You have the God of the lightning bolt. You have the God of guilt. You have the God who only says, should, should, should. Oh, there's a lot of gods that we grow up with. And the God in our mind that we perceive has a lot of impact on the decisions that we make. When I was young, we read Mark Twain's book, Huckleberry Finn. We read Tom Sawyer, and then we read Huck Finn. And if you remember the story of Huck Finn, if you haven't read that, it's basically about a slave named Jim who's escaping. And Huck ends up being accessory to him escaping from slavery. But the problem with Huck is that he comes from a Southern Christian home. And the sin of helping someone out of slavery will send you to hell in his mind. And through the book, he's struggling with his love and care for Jim, and he's helping this slave escape, and really everything about Jim has every attribute of really a loving God in the story. Finally, Huck comes to this moment of truth, and he says, all right, I'll go to hell then. I mean, it's a moral dilemma for him because he had the wrong perception of God. And if you face a decision where you don't have God properly perceived, like he's out to get you, that he doesn't love you or care about the decision that you're making, you'll make the wrong decision. Your perception of God really matters. Let me go one more. In every decision, we should make the love of God our goal. In every decision, make the love of God. Let's go back to the decision of who you should date. Let me ask you something about the person you're dating. When you're with him, does it enhance your relationship with God and your call of God, the call of God on your life? What is the call of God on your life? To love him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing that don't please God, that's a real easy call. You just need to break up with that person right now because you're not honoring God in that relationship. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody. Don't raise your hand. There's parents right now who are on the inside saying, preach it, Pastor Rob, preach. Okay, they've offered you the job and there's more money and it's a promotion and you're gonna move across the country. How do I make that decision? You need to think about why you were created, where God has you, and does it promote your love for him? Is it really? See, you can discern by the Spirit, and you need to embrace the struggle of that and all the prayers that are gonna happen. Have you ever talked to God about a big decision and he just seems silent in the sky? And it's, he just lets you wrestle with it. I don't like that about him, because he wants you to talk to some other people. He wants you to gain his wisdom with a multitude of counsel. He wants you to seek out the wisdom of your parents or the people that are around you, the coaches that you have. He wants you to look into his word. He wants to hear you talk to him about it and embrace the struggle. And in the midst of that, he wants you to start changing your desires into his desires, that you would be able to. I had a friend named Kyle who took a job one time. I was kind of mentoring him and helping him, and he took a job for less pay at another place in another state, and it was completely and totally God. It didn't look like God at the moment, but to him, he knew it was right. And some 15 years later, God has just blessed him in every single way. And sometimes the job that offers you more pay, you should stay. And sometimes the job that offers you less pay, you should go. And sometimes the yes is good, and sometimes it's a no. I'm starting to sound like Dr. Seuss up here. What am I saying? Those decisions, don't let anybody tell you they're pat answers. It's as complex as your relationship with a spouse. It's as complex as your relationship with the Lord. And embrace the struggle of that. Embrace the need for prayer. Embrace the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding you and talking to him about all of those things. Here's some of the results when you make a wise decision. One, it will cause things to change. If nothing changes, you haven't made the decision. Two, if it's a godly, wise decision, it'll increase freedom in your life. If you make the decision and all the walls come in, it's not the right decision. God confirms wise decisions. It brings wholeness and equilibrium to your life. It doesn't split you up or tear you up or tear you down. It increases wholeness and equilibrium, and it always takes you deeper into your relationship with God. If you're convinced that that's the right way to go and you've prayed and you feel, as soon as you do that, your relationship with God will get better and not worse as you make that decision. Now, the truth is, sometimes God will have you decide and it'll be the thing that'll be last on your list. Sometimes it's first, and sometimes it's the last thing. What I'm telling you is, you don't immediately know, and it's never a snap decision. Embrace the struggle of it. Seek counsel. Pray and talk to him. And enjoy, can I say, enjoy the journey of making difficult decisions, because it's what God uses to grow you in him and give you his wisdom. Would you stand with me? And we're going to pray before we go. I'm laughing because this is such a tough topic. I wish we should just sit down and let me talk to you for another hour about this. I want to encourage you, just before we pray, there's an outreach meeting in the community room today, and there's missions trips to Mexico and Haiti and India, and I encourage every family to consider that. I think it's just so good to get that perspective in your life, and if you're interested in that, this is just an interest meeting, and it's happening in the community room. I encourage you to do that. I have regrets in my life. I know I'm not alone in this, because I see humans in the room. I have regrets. I have years' regrets. I have decisions that I'm not proud of. There are a lot of things I don't regret. I don't regret the children that I have. Even the third one that was not planned, not a regret. I don't regret marrying my wife. She's here, so I just want to be very clear on this. Zero regret. Zero. Don't ask her if she has any, but I have zero. And 25 years ago, when I did not have any inclination for serving God and was really living against him, through a series of events, I decided I believed in Jesus. And I gave him my life. And I had an idea of who God was, kind of like I do now. I don't have a full concept now, but it's better than it was 25 years ago. But I had no idea that God is as good as he is. I knew I needed him to forgive my sins. I knew I needed a relationship with him. But can I tell you, I have zero regrets in giving my life to Jesus. Zero regrets. I feel like I'm on an infomercial right now, but a billion people have already done this. Time is limited. This is why we close in this saying a simple prayer of saying yes to him. Today, if you're here, if you're open to God at all, you can say this prayer and he knows right where you're at. I just want to encourage you with all my heart. I couldn't say enough to give your life to Jesus. And if you do that today for the first time, stop by one of the info areas and grab a book and begin your relationship with him, and we'll be thrilled. But would you bow your heads with me and we'll pray before we go. If you're willing, would you pray this? Pray, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. So, Father, we thank you for those who said yes today, and we say yes as well. God, I pray for all of us this week that you would help us as we look into your word, as we talk to you, as we struggle with these decisions, as we seek the counsel of wise counsel of others. God, that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit to discern which way and how to walk. Give us your wisdom and we will walk in it. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.